This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two here on Sports Daily. Still getting connected with Dan, so we'll get to Dan just as soon as Jad gives us the thumbs up here. It is Jacob Albrecht and Brandon Zinner in the meantime, getting you ready for a big night of college basketball tonight. Getting ready for another crazy week of the NFL season. I was just looking through the playoff picture, and it's almost settled. The NFC's a little trickier, some of the divisional races, but, you know, this Thursday night game between the Chargers and Broncos, pretty massive, Brandon, honestly. Like, if the Chargers beat Denver, okay, you've got Denver facing a situation where they have to then play the Bengals, who would not be eliminated, and the Chiefs. Denver's not out of the woods. Now, the Chargers obviously also face dire straits because they've got to play Denver. If they lose again, they're potentially only a game ahead of a team like Cincinnati or Indianapolis. So it is not quite settled there, but it should be an interesting stretch down here through the home stretch of the regular season. All right, we have Dan Israel in, our Chiefs insider, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, as we bring Dan in to talk about what everybody's talking about, Dan, and that is a right ankle of a certain player and what it means. What have you heard? And if you could just give us like a gut feel, percentage chance, whatever it is that Mahomes plays, what would you give it right now?
Well, I've heard that it's a mid-ankle sprain, which is better than a high ankle sprain.
Okay.
Not as good as a low ankle sprain. But you know, he is so tough, Jacob. He refuses to play. I mean, he refuses not to play, and so I think it's going to be hard to keep him out of the game, regardless of whether that's the best health decision for him or not. But especially with the Chiefs still fighting for that first round seed. I think his chances of playing are probably pretty good.
Dan, Brandon Zinner here. Thanks for joining us this morning. If in the fact that they do need to go to Carson Wentz, what does this offense look like with him? How much confidence do they have in that he can go in and run the offense that we have become accustomed to seeing throughout this season?
You know, Brandon, in training camp, he looked great. I mean, he really looked like a starting quarterback. It was almost like, why do we have two starting quarterbacks on this team? But when you're behind Patrick Mahomes, I mean, there's not much of a chance there. And there's also a reason that he's a backup quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, right? But I do think he's capable. I do think he understands. You know, he's been in our offense now long enough that if he does have to go, he'll make a good outing, I believe. But I just think it's going to be hard to keep Mahomes down.
I can tell you right now, Vegas thinks that Wentz will play because the Chiefs are home dogs. If you look at those sorts of things, I think it's a really interesting decision. I think if Mahomes is anything less than 100%, it comes down to, can Carson Wentz beat the Texans at home? I think he can. And then at that point, you've got because the Pittsburgh game, as of right now, means more than the Texans game, right? Because Pittsburgh's technically still alive in the home field race. So that game means more. It would then be on a short week. You would still control your own destiny if Carson Wentz can't go. And I understand the other side of it, too, because if you beat Houston and Pittsburgh, then you could rest Mahomes for 2 weeks. I think it's a pretty fascinating decision for Andy Reid and the coaching staff on whether Mahomes wants to play or not, whether they let him play because they've got 3 games in 11 days coming.
Yeah, and I do think, you know, one of the issues here, first of all, when we talked about this, you know, 3 games in 11 days, man, the worst thing that can happen in that stretch is an injury, right? And that's exactly what happened. But, you know, the way the offensive line was playing, it was kind of a matter of time. But I think one of the factors there is going to be late in the week, just how much swelling remains. And, you know, I think if there's enough swelling in there that they just can't deny it, they'll sit him just because even his own people will tell him, you know, hey, you don't want to mess this ankle up permanently. And so I think that there's some degree of that, but I think if it comes down to just a pain tolerance, there's no way they're keeping him out of there. They'll shoot that ankle up and he'll be out there. And I think it's, man, when you watch the Bills play on Sunday, it's going to be a fight to the end, I think, here. I'm not sure the Bills are going to lose another game, right?
And, Dan, we were already on Mahomes' injury watch just because of the state of this Chiefs offensive line. They make the change after the DJ Humphreys injury. Joe Tooney moves over from left guard to left tackle for the first time since college, which I'm still not sure was even talked about enough nationally, how impressive that was. What did you take away from what we saw from him moving over? And what do you think this team does moving forward with that left tackle position?
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a real problem, right? I mean, I thought Tooney did really well. That is not easy to change positions. I know a lot of people think, hey, offensive line is the offensive line. But, you know, Tooney's used to going forward, not sideways. And so it's a pretty big leap for him to make. Thought he played great. You know, when you look at Mahomes, came out of the game with an injury, there's always a strike in that direction, right? Nothing you can say about that. May not have been Tooney's fault, but ultimately the offensive line failed there, and so I still think they have an issue. I think they're going to have to get used to doing a tackle eligible or a you know, bringing in keeping those tight ends back, man. You got to give Mahomes more time. I thought his time went from about just under 2 seconds to just under 2.5 seconds, which is a big deal in the NFL. But they need to, I'd like to see that get up to 3. That'd be much better.
So that's another good point, because as we talk about what to do with Mahomes, if TJ Watt is out, and he could be by the time the Chiefs play them, there's another reason for me. Like, Houston can rush, Houston can get after it and rush the passer. So can Denver. If I'm like crystal balling the perfect scenario here, it's that you can beat Houston with Carson Wentz, and then if you don't, maybe you have to get Mahomes in there against a Watt-less Pittsburgh pass rush, and then who knows what you'll need against Denver at that point. It's always been a protecting Mahomes thing, even before the injury to me. It's why I've thought they needed to run the ball more. It's why all of these things are for this reason right here. I mean, I don't know. A mid-ankle sprain feels like it can get worse, right? It's not like he can just run out there and have no further injury risk. That feels like something that can get worse.
Definitely, and I think, you know, even though they can tape a mid-ankle sprain much better than a high-ankle sprain, you're still putting the guy out there. And I mean, I think a perfect plan, if you ask me, would be to start Wentz. I mean, there's nothing keeping you. As long as you don't make Mahomes inactive, you could always bring him in the second half if the Chiefs need it. I don't know if they'll do that. I don't know. I know the optics of that may not be that pretty, but I'm with you. I believe they could beat the Texans with Wentz. Look, Wentz looks so good in training camp. I mean, he looked like a true starting quarterback. I'm not sure I would say they couldn't beat the Steelers with Wentz, but I just know, you know, how competitive Mahomes is, and it just seems like when the better part of valor would be to say, hey, rest now. You may even get to rest. Who knows? You may even get to rest on Christmas Day. That would be ideal, right? And then you can rest maybe against the Broncos. There would have to be a huge upset with the Bills for all of that to happen. And I just think like they want to keep the gas on and make sure that they get this first seed.
Yeah, the Bills finishing up 3 divisional games, 2 against the Patriots, 1 against the Jets. Those first 2 games against each of those opponents at home. And Dan, regardless of who is playing under center, it sounds like Hollywood Brown has a very good chance of returning, which is going to be a huge help to whoever it is under center. What are you hearing about his chances to play this week? What do you think he'll bring to this offense? Because we did only get to see that for Check's Notes, 1 snap of the preseason.
Yeah, you know, Brandon, it's funny. He did a little bit of practicing last week, and it was like he didn't miss a beat. Mahomes and him were still in sync, and I'm excited. I mean, the aspect of that, it's so unfortunate, this injury, because I really think that it would have been fun to see and for them, those guys, to get a few weeks under their belt before they hit this playoff run. But from all accounts, he's not missing a beat. He should be out there. How much they'll actually use him, especially if Wentz starts, I think you'll see him get some snaps. I mean, it's kind of like when they brought in Hopkins. You know, they were slow at it. They didn't exactly throw him into the mix, but they kind of slowly gave him a play here, a play there. I think they'll do the same with Hollywood Brown.
Is the Clyde Edwards-Helaire move yesterday, you think, the big reason why Hollywood is activated and ready to go for this game? Are we reading between the lines too much on that?
No, I think that you're exactly right, Jacob. I'm frankly shocked that it's taken this long, to be honest with you, because there just doesn't seem to be much that Clyde Edwards-Helaire can bring to the table at this point, right? I mean, especially Samaje Perine seems to be playing better every week, and we still got Carson Steele in our pocket. So, yeah, I think so. I think you just, you know, there's only so many roster spots, right?
And as I alluded to, the Bills, they have the upper hand when you look at the schedule. If Mahomes is healthy, this is already a tough schedule for the Chiefs. When you look at the Texans, you look at the Steelers, and then a road trip to Denver in Week 18, they could be playing for the 6th seed or the 7th seed, which is going to maybe depend whether you're going to Buffalo or you're going to Pittsburgh, possibly, in the playoffs. How do you think this all plays out? Where are we seeing the AFC shake up once we enter the playoffs in less than 1 month's time?
Yeah, it's funny. It shows the parity of the league, right? I mean, you could end up being 15-2 and the 6th seed or whatever it is. It's just, it's nuts. But and you got to assume the Bills are just going to win all 3 of those games, right? I mean, man, the way they looked against the Lions, where they could just score at will, certainly makes you think they're going to score at will against the Patriots and against the Jets. I know the Jets had a good outing Sunday, but still, I just don't feel like that's going to be much competition for them. So the Chiefs, really, they're in the driver's seat, but there's just no margin of error when you talk about finishing the season against what are 3 very competitive opponents. I think, you know, the Broncos are playing much, much better. Even though they had a down week Sunday, I feel like that defense is for real. Steelers, I don't know what to think about other than they're a good team. They're always competitive. They're always in the fight. They remind me of the Chiefs in that they find ways to win. Tough game against the Eagles, of course, Sunday for them. But I think they'll be ready on Christmas Day. You know, the winner in all of this, guys, Netflix.
Oh, yeah. They
assuming
got,
the stream
they,
stays
they,
up.
They won. The Steelers have a George Pickens problem. When he's not out there, they're different. But, man, when he's out there, they're good. I want to ask you about the rest of the – so the Chargers and the Broncos will play, and that's a fascinating game to me because I don't know that either of these teams is completely safe. The Chargers had a major letdown. They're actually favored in that game. Okay, so the Chargers are favored. Let's just say the Chargers beat the Broncos. Then the Broncos got to turn around and play the Bengals, who are not eliminated yet. And then the Broncos have to finish with the Chiefs. Who would you which situation would you rather have? Because the Broncos are a game ahead of the Chargers, but the Chargers finish with Denver and then New England and Vegas. Would you rather be Denver or would you rather be the Chargers right now? I think I'd rather be the Chargers.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, you know, I'm always stunned with the level of talent that the Chargers have that they can struggle so much, but I'd much rather play those two teams than what the Broncos are going to have to face. And I think you've also got a more experienced quarterback. When you talk about December football, you know, it kind of ticks up a notch. We always call it the race for the playoffs, right? And I feel like teams that are experienced play better in December, and so I think you'd have to give that hand to the Chargers as well. But if I had my choice, I'd rather be the Chargers.
We've been on here and haven't touched about the Chiefs defense at all yet, and that's a group that just forced six turnovers, held the Browns to just one big chunk play, 7 points on the day. When you look at the defense, is what they did, is it sustainable? Was it a product of who they played? Is the Chiefs defense back? Did Steve Spagnuolo figure something out in the last couple weeks? What's your take on this Chiefs defense at this point?
I tell you, the Cleveland Browns just seem to step on themselves every opportunity they were given. I mean, I'm really stunned almost at some of the, you know, the decisions that they made. Some of the errors they made were so uncharacteristic. I mean, we saw the Kadarius Toney, you know, lining up off sides. And so I don't know. I want to say that, look, do I think it should have taken 3 years for Trent McDuffie to get an interception? No. Do I think that, you know, he's got the monkey off his back with that? Maybe. I definitely think they work on that stuff every day. And so I think some of it was the Chiefs defense, but man, an awful lot of it just seemed to be the Cleveland Browns giving the Chiefs opportunities to make plays versus the other way around. I don't know. How do you guys feel about it?
I think, look, they had Jerome Ford had the big 62-yard run. You take that away, and Cleveland barely clears 200 yards. And it's not like Jameis Winston has been ineffective. Now, he's turned the ball over too much, but the Chiefs made their entire offense look ineffective. So I think two things were happening. I think the turnovers, yeah, maybe you can give that to Cleveland, but even just the lack of ability to do anything. And honestly, Dan, is it just as simple as they finally had a pass rush in that game? Like, is it that much of a difference that, man, if they could just get a pass rush down the stretch, we could see the Chiefs' defense return to what it once was?
I do think that's the case. I mean, I always believe it starts at the defensive line, and I think Steve Spagnuolo says that quite a bit. So, you know, for them to be able to get. And George Karloftis was a monster, man. I'd love to see him play like that every week because he's got that kind of heart, you know. So I think as he increases and he becomes more, a veteran in this league, you might see more of that out of him, and that's a good thing, man. That's a really good thing. But I do feel like the defensive line played extremely well, and that was a huge, huge benefit to the secondary. And to finally, you know, kind of force those guys to cover 4 seconds, not 8 seconds. That's a big deal, right?
And just because nobody enjoys picking games based off of kicking matchups like Jacob Halbrocht, Harrison Butker comes back from injured reserve and misses that field goal. Any worry there in your part?
You know, there must have been a worry to some degree. I thought it was interesting because Coach Tobe told us earlier in the week that, you know, Butker wasn't going to kick off, that they were going to leave Justin Reed out there to do that. That, to me, tells me that they were already concerned about either the strength of his leg, the recovery. I'm not quite sure why they rushed him out there, given that, you know, Matthew Wright was AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. But I have a little bit of concern with that because, again, until he's back to looking like Harrison Butker, and that includes kicking him off through the end zone, I think there's a reason for that. And, you know, I just have to wonder why, and if that's just a matter of getting back out there and loosening the thing up, and you got to just go through a week of practice, then I guess we'll see this week. But definitely something to keep your eye on, you know. I mean, special teams has been a factor, and it seems like 75, 80, 90% of these games this season, and Harrison Butker's been a big part of that. So, you know, you don't want to go out there with anything less than your best.
Yeah, I can't imagine they rushed him back. They just wouldn't need to. Dan, we appreciate it. You guys get the Saturday game, then a Christmas Day game. It's going to be a wacky schedule for everybody on the network here. Of course, you'll hear all the games over on KNSS. Thanks for calling in. I know it's been a little different on your schedule today, but we appreciate the time, and we'll all be on ankle watch the rest of the week.
That's right. My pleasure, guys. Have a good Tuesday.
There goes Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network. If you missed anything there, if you joined us late, you can, of course, always go back and listen all the time on the Odyssey app. You can download it. The show gets podcasted there. Thousands and thousands of people do that every month. We appreciate everybody who does that every month. All right, let's take a quick break when we come back. We got a call here on, and I'm glad. Ken's been trying to get us to talk NBA Cup, and we've got Brandon in here. Brandon pays far more attention to this thing than I do. Let's see, how much time have I spent watching the NBA Cup? It'd be zero, and then carrying another zero. It'd be zero. But we'll get Ken's take on it. The Thunder are involved. Of course, we know there are a lot of Thunder fans in this part of the world. And get Brandon's take. He's paying more attention to this stuff this time of year than I am. So we'll come back. We'll have that. Hang with us, Ken. We'll get your calls. The IHOP hotline is back open the rest of the way. It is brought to you by IHOP, the official breakfast partner of Xbox. Come in, try the decadent, fully loaded French toast only at IHOP. We'll hit that next when we return on Sports Daily. Don't go away. On your way into work, want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car with the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com? You can. Just download the app or visit Odyssey.com. Search for KFH. Download the app today to get started. Something else you can do cool in the app is leave us voice messages. Just hit that little microphone icon and you can do that. If you can't call us live, we do have a live call right now, and it's on a topic we have spent no time on. And so Ken is going to break the seal here. Ken? Oh, it is a message. Great. Okay. So we've got a Ken message. Hey, look, that was a wacky coincidence there. So this is actually one of the messages I was just talking about through the Odyssey app. It's really cool. If you can't call us live on the IHOP hotline, you can leave us a message. Here's the message from Ken.
Game tonight in the NBA, fellas, Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Bucks in the NBA Cup final game. If you're one of those fans that doesn't watch the NBA and thinks the NBA there's no defense in the NBA, tune in tonight and watch that game. Should be an awesome one. Have a good one.
There goes Ken. Look, Brandon, this isn't, you go Thunder here. Two good teams, two teams that might be in the NBA finals. It's not that I don't care that the NBA does this cup thing. I honestly, legitimately don't understand it. So it's not aimed at me anyway, because I'm not anymore. In this life and what we do now, I spend far more time and energy with college basketball than I do the NBA. It was not that way before I moved to this part of the world a decade ago. I was far more into the NBA than college basketball. So, you know, life has dictated that I appropriate my resources in different ways. I don't understand the NBA Cup. I don't get it. I'm not a soccer guy. So, like, there's nothing to really compare it to for me. So, you know, it's like if you played bowl games in the middle of the season, I guess. I don't even know what to do. But I do know these are two good teams that are going to play hard tonight. And, you know, I'll lock into the NBA much later in the season. So I really don't have a lot on it. I'm glad the Thunder are in it, I guess.
Yeah, I'd be lying. You said you've watched 0 minutes of the NBA. even I'm a huge Timberwolves fan. They have an exciting team, and I think I've watched 20 minutes of the NBA this year. I still follow along. I know you and me are playing in a hotly contested fantasy basketball matchup this week, but I wish I could watch, because I mean, anytime you get Giannis and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander going against each other, two great defensive teams. And remember, these guys are playing for cold hard cash tonight. The winner is walking away with a good chunk of change. I think it's $1 million.
I think that's right.
I'll be in Kansas City covering the Kansas State Wildcats tonight. So the second best show on TV this evening. But no, it's gonna be fun. I'm excited to follow along.
It's just like this cup thing again. I don't want to come in and like pile on it, because it's not for me anyway. Like I think that happens a lot, right? Like you hear, like most people are probably like us this time of year. Like we're still all in on football, right? We've got the college playoffs coming. We've got the NFL and fever pitch. For us, you've got college basketball now right in the swing of things. I just don't have time for it. But my thoughts on the NBA Cup aren't really that relevant. I want to know what like diehard NBA people think of it, right? Like what people who watch the season, don't miss a game, you know, whatever it is, this interruption of the regular season. That's who I would want to hear from. But I just don't think there are that many people out there, especially not in non-NBA cities. And I know Oklahoma City's right down the road, but like, unless you're like caught up in it regularly, it almost feels like you just kind of take a break. We all look at it. They play on goofy looking courts. Don't really understand what's happening. You and I are trying to set fantasy basketball lineups because we're in this insane league where, you know, whatever, it all combines it. And I'm like, who's playing? Like, I don't even know who's playing right now. So go Thunder. I there you go, Ken. I'm with you. I'm glad that they're bringing you the enjoyment here with this NBA Cup. Most of us don't know what it is, if we're being honest. And I don't have any shame in saying that, because I 100% think it's true. I think it's true for sure. Speaking of other sports not in the news, I'm just seeing this morning. Major League Baseball is not shying away from rule changes. They did a big old set of them, and it has been wildly successful for them. Rob Manfred comes out and concedes that inning requirements for starters aren't going to solve injury issues. And none of these things are things that are going to go out. There's kind of like the golden bat thing. I think he's just like throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall. But they're talking about, it sounds like, some roster changing where they could, you know, get guys, call an extra player up. They're trying to keep pitchers from being hurt. And I don't think looking at that is the wrong thing to do, Brad. I think what you do with starters is important, because they are getting hurt. The Tommy John bug is not going away.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen why not take any step toward just, yeah, prolonging these guys' careers, making sure that they get a chance to stay as healthy as long as possible. We saw the NFL just do this with the emergency quarterback rule that was on trial last year, and then now they still have I still don't even know what the rule is regarding the third quarterback. Are they a member of the 50? It's a whole weird situation, but I mean, the MLB, if they are going to continue to look towards possible rule changes, especially if it benefits pitchers, not them executing in game, but just keeping them healthy long in the season. That we play fantasy baseball as well. It's hard to know when these guys are going to get scratched or whatnot. I'm all for it.
Yeah, and look, Manfred wants to make starters pitch a certain length into a game, which I do think could be wild. I'm generally okay with most of these ideas. I don't think that one has enough of a payoff to make a fundamental change like that. Because, you know, and I don't know all the intricacies of it, but you don't want to see somebody get shelled for that long. I'd like to see starters pitch deeper into a game too. I think it makes the game better. But that one fundamentally changes the way baseball's played right now. And the shift did to some degree, but you're not playing it any different. Making a starter go six innings does to me more so change. And there's the injury risk factor. I don't think this one will ever happen. But as far as, you know, I was a proponent, by the way, of all of the last rule changes. I didn't like the shift. I thought it was killing the game. I didn't like that relievers were coming in to pitch to one batter. I thought it was killing the game. I love the pitch clock. I love the bigger bases introducing the steal. I love all of those things. And it's why when I hear things like golden bat, and it's like that would change the game, I'm like, you know what? I don't love it, but I also don't hate it. And I think the good thing for baseball is they can always test this stuff in the minor leagues.
Exactly.
Go to one of the leagues and test it. See what it does. See how it's received. I can tell you this, and this is what I said about this rule change. I can tell you this with certainty. If you are a fan watching a game, whether it's on television or in the stands, that experience would enhance your viewing experience. I don't care what you say. I don't care. We can sit here and say it changes the game, and it does. But you cannot convince me that if the Royals had, if they were, you know, down two, got their first two on and could pull Bobby Witt Jr. up whenever they wanted, that that would not make you more excited as a fan. Because you, I think we'd all be lying if we didn't admit that. Whether it's needed or not is a different discussion. But it would make the end of games more exciting. I don't think there's any question about that. So therefore, like, okay, like send it down to the minor leagues and let's see what happens.
Yeah, that whole rule change is fascinating. I hate it just on the surface because it just feels like you're entering a cheat code on a video game. And yeah, sure, this guy gets a free. But then I think that would be one where when it is implemented and yeah, you see it in action for the first time, I mean, it's going
to get excited.
It would be electric. Would I rather see Kyle Isbell or Bobby Witt Jr. up down two with the bases loaded and two outs in the seventh inning of a big game in September? I mean, that's electric. The pitching one, there is still strategy to some of these teams, especially like these smaller market teams where they don't have the pitching depth where they want to use a starter and go one inning. And then, I mean, there is strategy to all of this. So I don't agree with that one as much. The golden at bat thing, yeah, it just sounds absolutely ridiculous, but it sounds electric as well. Sign me up.
But you know, and again, I'd want to see it first. But I just, anytime that I go to, that's crazy, it would change the game too much, I hate it, I have to stop myself and say, okay, hang on a second here. What do you think basketball fans and NBA fans thought when they said, you know what, let's draw a line out on the court and anything behind that line is worth 3 points? You want to talk about changing a game. And is there anybody in the world who doesn't think the 3-point shot made basketball better? Right? So other sports forever have changed their rules to make the game more exciting for the fan since the beginning of time. Baseball has always been the most resistant to that. And now finally they aren't. And I do not think it's a coincidence that we have seen massive growth in television ratings, in attendance, and all the things that have been happening in a positive way for baseball. Like, you either adapt or you die, right? And so what matters to very old school baseball fans is not what's going to take you into the future and keep you relevant. So at some point you just kind of have to be like, sorry guys, like we just got to do it, right? Just like the 3-point shot. And maybe they'll make a 4-point shot and we'll all go, you can't do that. You can't make a 4-point shot. Yeah. Or adding college playoff football playoff teams and, you know, and no, you can't do that. It'll take away from the regular season, or it won't. And it'll actually make the regular season better. Did it make conference championship games better? Probably not, but it made the regular season a lot better. Just don't be so afraid of change. It might just open mind. Baseball can test this in the minor leagues. We're going to have balls and strikes, robot umpires. That's all coming. They can test it, and it'll all make the game better. I don't know if the golden bat will make the game better, by the way, but I'm at least willing to entertain the idea of it. Rick says, by the way, speaking of those pitcher injuries, it's because they're throwing 100 miles an hour. Some of these older guys pitch deep into a game. You use Maddux and Glavine as an example. I'll use Randy Johnson and Nolan Ryan as an example where I don't think it's quite that simple. I do think that has an impact. There's no question. More guys do it. And the spin rates higher now than they ever have been. That's what, you know, a lot of medical people think is leading to the Tommy Johns. There have been guys throwing 100 miles an hour deep into games for a long time. But it's these spin rates, you know, that, and what are you supposed to do, right? You want the nastiest stuff you can throw. I don't think there is an easy answer to that. Like there, that's just something that's going to have to be dealt with. All right. So that popped up. I did want to get to that one real quick before we let go of baseball, Brandon. We're starting to see a lot of movement among free agents, right? A lot of moves being made. The Royals kind of made the early move with Jonathan India. How much more do you think they're going to do at the deadline here? I think that there is a small amount of pressure now to replace Singer, to have some reinforcements there. I do think they need another starting pitcher. I do think they solved a leadoff hitter, at least on paper. I do think they could still use another bat, too. I don't think their work is done, and it feels like they've got chips in the middle of the table here, and they probably are going to go spend a little more money. If they can only do one thing, though, what would you like to see them do?
I would like to see them go out and get a big lefty bat that they can deploy at any point. We've seen the injuries of Vinny, and I think they just need another solid lefty bat, whether that's guy who can get on base, whether that's a guy who can hit for power. They just need more of that. And you said deadline. Is there a deadline in baseball? No one does free agency worse than baseball. Juan Soto got announced during Sunday Night Football. That's a whole nother conversation.
Shouldn't have done that.
But yeah, the Royals, the offense let them down late in the season. Just acquire as many bats as you can and avoid that late season collapse.
See, I'd go the opposite way. Right now, to me, the priority has to be to replace Singer in the rotation. The whole reason I wouldn't say I'm skeptical of the Singer trade. I don't mind the idea of it, but I'm a lot more happy about it if they replace Singer in the rotation. What I don't think the Royals can do is take this massive strength they had a year ago, this thing that propelled them back to the postseason, which was the depth and the strength of its starting pitching, take away from that and not replace it. Let me put it this way. Brady Singer had, I believe, a higher WAR than Jonathan India for a reason, right? Like you can't have questions there, because that is what ultimately still should, now with Waka coming back and basically the whole staff coming back, that's what should still be the strength of the team. Don't let it become a detriment. Will they be as fortunate with health in the rotation as they were a year ago? Unlikely, right? They need a little depth. I'd love to see that. I don't think Lorenzen's signed anywhere, has he?
No, not yet.
I would love to see them bring Lorenzen back. They say they want to try Bubich in the rotation. That means you lose one of the real critical pieces of your bullpen if you do that, though. So I actually think they need to attack pitching right now. I think bats are there far more often and plentiful for what they need out of a bat by the end of this thing. And they'll be able to, I don't want to call it a scrap heap. That's probably not fair, but there'll be more options there. If they're going to get a pitcher, they need to get aggressive and go make sure they get a pitcher, because I do think that the hole left in the rotation by Singer is a significant thing that the team will need to address. Maybe they get replacement value through Daniel Lynch, or maybe. We've been waiting on those guys to be starting pitchers for a very long time. And
Kyle Wright is coming back from injury, a guy they signed last offseason. They're optimistic about him, but that will remain to be seen.
And he hadn't pitched in 2 years, so. I think that's leaving too much up to chance. Let's get some reinforcements in there one way or the other. And if you are going to use all these guys and these bullpen guys and try to, then go get somebody in the bullpen, right? Don't take away from that either, because that throughout the year, that was the biggest issue last year. All right. So we'll keep watching the baseball trade deadline. It has cooled a little bit since the winter meetings are over. There will be some other splashy players signed that the Royals will not be involved in. And then we'll probably see the trickle down and their real work can begin. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversations here on a Tuesday. Don't forget, you got college basketball coming tonight, both the Shockers and K-State playing. Looking forward to both of those games for a lot of different reasons, quite frankly. But we'll get into all of it as we make our way through. Last full segment coming. It's Albrock. It's Zenner. Chad Chambers producing. We'll be right back.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
back in, everybody. Jake Balbrock, Brandon Zinner with you on this Tuesday. Something we were kicking around the sports office at KWCH yesterday, and I've been thinking about this a lot, not because it's a hot topic or, you know, trendy. It just like watching Travis Kelce now, I am beginning to wonder if this is it for him. I think physically, the last two seasons, you've seen him age a little bit as far as like sports aging. I am honestly, it makes me even more impressed with what he's still able to do, Brandon, to at least to the eyes see that he doesn't move the same way he used to move and all of these things. Like he's hit the place where most older players hit, yet he's still so effective. But it does make me continue to wonder, like, is this it for Travis Kelce? I'm beginning to think there's a pretty good chance it is.
Yeah, he clearly doesn't have the same step as he did. He's still really good after the catch. He can obviously still carve up a defense as good as just about anybody out there. But it's evident how much the Chiefs have got Noah Gray involved. You can see flashes of Travis in Noah a little bit just with how he's sure. able to find space and whatnot. Kelce does seem like he has just a little less patience on the field. I don't know about you. You can see a little bit more frustration, annoyance.
Yeah,
just
that goes. I think that goes back to last year. You know, I think it's. You know what it reminds me of is Jason Witten. You know, late in his career, because Jason Witten played like forever, right? And late in his career, he just kept it going without any explosive. It was like all brains for Witten down the stretch there. He always found holes in the defense, and he always was the safety net for whoever was the Cowboys quarterback. And Kelce is not to that level yet. Kelsey's still got a whole lot more left in the tank than Witten did by the time he finally decided to step away. But it does remind me that a little bit, and I mean that as a compliment. Like the ability to, even when you're physically not where you once were, because the only other time we really see this is at quarterback. Right. Like that's the only other time in football where your athleticism can leave you, but you still be wildly effective. Quarterback is the only place on the field I can remember that being a factor, like that being possible, except for a couple of guys and like Witten or Kelce or Tony Gonzalez back in the day, like guys that have been able to stretch it out and just be exactly what the offense needs, exactly when it needs it. And it blows me away, honestly, that they're able to do that when it does appear to the eye that physically they don't have what they once did.
Yeah, and in the Kelce debate, or not debate, just discussion, what more does he have to give to the game? He's sure. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He could be the greatest tight end of all time, one of the best pass catchers yep. of all time. He is on the brink of possibly winning a fourth Super Bowl. Would be if they get it done, it'll be the three-peat. He has so much going on outside of football. Obviously, other ventures and interests, just even away from his dating with Taylor Swift. I mean, from Hollywood to a wildly successful podcast. How much more does he want to balance everything? What more does he have to give? Those are going to be questions that are raised over the next 2 months.
Yeah, and look,
if
he wants to play forever, you let him play forever because he's still effective, right? And so that happens too sometimes. Like, what more do you have to give? What more did Tom Brady have to give? And he decided to go play in Tampa and win another Super Bowl, right? Sometimes you just don't want to step away. And I'm totally fine with that. There aren't very many people who have loved football as much as Travis Kelce loves football. I think though, you know, he at some point, it's wild to imagine still being able to do it at the level he's doing it at with the physical limitations that come with age. And he has been, and it's been crazy to watch this year. Like I'm amazed by it. Not like, oh, he's losing his I'm just like, how is he still able to do this when he so clearly is not the same athlete he was a couple of years ago? That's how I take it. Just wild that he can still do it. And quite frankly, I hope he plays forever. He's one of the, you know, he's one of the great players all time to watch, one of the great characters of the NFL right now. We were talking about that yesterday. I wanted to squeeze that in here before we let everybody go. All right. We're going to take one more break. We're going to come back. We'll tell you exactly how you can listen to the college basketball tonight and put a bow on this Tuesday. It's all Brockton Zinner, Jad Chambers producing, and we'll be right back.